This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Fiona.
Well, we're going to talk about something Byron Katie, who lives up here in Ojai, and has a powerful teaching called The Work, W-O-R-K. You can check out thework.com, and she has a lot of free stuff that you can download, including the questions. And here's one question that I think is really, one statement that I think is really helpful. As long as you think that the cause of your problem is out there, someone else, something else. As long as you think that anyone or anything is responsible for your suffering, the situation is hopeless. It means that you're forever in the role of victim, that you're suffering in paradise.
Long pause.
Yeah, long pause.
Well, she really gets to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, that's one of the things she's very gifted at, actually. And, you know, with her four questions, sometimes it's enough just questioning a thought, which is what she did. I mean, considering she was, I think, way over 300 pounds. And she was also... in, you know, a very tough relationship, I believe. And so she used this, she went through a transformation. She talks about it on YouTube. And you can explore how she got to the fact that when she was completely hopeless, no hope left, that she came to this realization that all you have to do is start questioning your thoughts.
Yeah.
And most of the time they're not true.
Exactly. That's the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the only bumper sticker I have on my car right now is question everything.
Yeah.
And I've also put this out on Facebook a lot, which is don't believe everything you think.
Yes, that is a fantastic bumper sticker.
Well, I believe that's true. We seem to gather thoughts and beliefs from others.
And from our past.
Yeah, and from our past, different. And they sort of get rooted in us and develop fears. So it's a fear of, for example, I know they don't like me. Why don't they like me? What am I doing wrong? I'm not a good person because they don't.
What did I say? Why did I say that?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, we really have to question everything. We really have to question everything because we can really do ourselves around in circles and bring us right down.
And we're not in our culture, because it was a very strongly patriarchal culture, which was don't question anything, do what I say. And then you go to the schools that say don't question anything, do as I say. Then there are lots of advanced schools and wonderful teachers who do say question everything. And but we have to remember that we come from a long period of being told don't question.
Yes, exactly.
And it's sometimes a little hard for our brain to grab the fact that it's okay to question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think the thing is, what you said is question everything. And and Byron Katie transformed her life. She now has this huge following of people. She travels the world. She's almost blind. And she helps people to question their thoughts and to transform their lives through questioning their thoughts.
And that's the biggest thing, is question our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of unique, because most people say, well, question reality or question, you know, the stuff outside us. But not many people have said...
I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's been said before, because everything's been said before. But when you say question your thoughts, if it's disturbing you, if it's disturbing your relationship, question it. My husband and I, there was a period when we used this almost every day, and it was extremely helpful.
Because, like what?
Like, say we had an argument about something, and then one of us would go, he should have been nicer. And that you start that question up. It's in your mind. He should have been nicer. And then you should say to yourself, he should have been nicer. Is that true? And, of course, it can be true. And you say, are you absolutely sure, 100% sure he should have been nicer? And then you have to really think of it. And you say, okay, so how does that make you feel? How do you feel when you have the thought, he should have been nicer? And then you say, well, I feel kind of alone. I feel kind of betrayed. I feel like he's just not with me. He doesn't even like me. I mean, you know, those things come. So when do you remember, was the first time that you remember feeling that thought or having that thought? And for me, almost always, that kind of stuff goes back to school, when I started school at an English corporal Spanish punishment school. And so it was always that feeling, like, how could they, you know, I was so liked as a kid by my family that how could these guys do this? And so then, so who would, the next one is, who would you be, where would you be without that thought, he should have been nicer? Well, I would just be here going about my day. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be attached to the thought because it wouldn't be there. I've questioned it. And I would just be able to have a really good day because that thought isn't in my mind. Yeah. And then you do the turnarounds, which can seem very complicated. He should have been nicer. Mm-hmm. Then you turn it around to, he shouldn't have been nicer. Can you find three reasons that he shouldn't have been nicer? Maybe he was, you know, just something had happened in business. Maybe, I mean, you know, you don't need to excuse it, but you want to see if you can
find... Or make an apology for it.
No, you just see if you can find three reasons that it may have been, you know, and there, it's best to go online and check out her free info or get her book, The Work, because it's such an incredibly helpful thing. What it does, it always goes back to a point in somewhere in before now, and usually somewhere in your childhood, but, and it's not about really struggling and working it out, it's just opening it up, because they become like pussy balls of energy, and we're relating to that and we're living our life.
And the moment we start relating to those pussy balls of energy, we become attached to it, and once we become attached to it, we can't let it go.
No, and it starts to rule us. So you find so many people in your life who are not nice to you. You find so many people in your life who might betray you. And we all have these patterns that we've had all of our life. And if you start to question them, it makes such a huge difference. For me, you know, I mean, it was abandonment too, because of my being abandoned as a baby, but for a short time. But it was, so oftentimes if I look back, mine is about abandonment, about being somehow, somebody not being there. What would you say yours is, Jill, the biggest thing you have?
Probably, if I go back, I mean, I just had the weirdest parents, actually.
What is affecting you now the most, would you say? Like, for me, it's more like an abandonment would be now, so that people would be there and then suddenly they wouldn't, or...
I think the thing that gives me the greatest joy in life, let me look at it that way, what gives me the greatest joy in life is intelligence, smartness, and I don't mean clever smart, but I love to listen to people who are really intelligent, who come up with this invention or an idea, or like there was something my sister put out today. She sent me an article from the Village Voice in New York, and it's all about what an archivist does in the most brilliant way of writing, that this article was brilliantly written. And all of a sudden it took me into this world that I wasn't even sure it existed. But how, what an, a true archivist is. And it's that sort of thing.
Expanded
that,
your mind.
Yeah. Now, if I go back to what is that glob for me, is from a very early age being told I was stupid. Mm. I was so stupid, being the oldest. Now, but by the time there were four other kids in the family, there was a point where I was so stupid, you're not allowed to eat with the family. You're so stupid... this. So it was always stupid. So I grew up thinking...
You're a scapegoat.
Yeah, I was a scapegoat, yeah. But how it expressed itself was being stupid, being locked in my room. You're stupid. And then to find out as I'm an adult that my youngest sister, I don't know about the others because I didn't ask them, but my youngest sister was told... that you know, I was mentally disabled and all this, and never to listen to me. I mean, it's just, it's horrendous that people would do that.
So how does it work when you question that thought? Like, it has to come up, like it's coming up.
Okay.
Now. How does it question when you say they shouldn't have done that?
I believe they shouldn't have done that.
Right. But how does it make you feel when you have the thought they shouldn't have done it and they did?
How that makes me feel, I feel that I have come through something huge, actually. So I can feel I'm not a victim of it. I've come through it. I've transformed that dictum of what I was supposed to be. I'm not.
And does it ever pop up into your mind?
No.
No. So you've moved beyond that now?
No. I've moved beyond it to a point where I would love to be as intelligent as other people.
Well, but wait, let's just talk about intelligence.
Okay. All right.
Because intelligence, you know, you have, my husband has an IQ of 165, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
We know somebody.
I know the difference between intellect and intelligence.
Yeah, because he's also intelligent, but the fact that people can score really highly with intelligence, you know, and then other people don't, like, we've talked about Winston Churchill or other very intelligent people didn't score so highly at school.
Einstein,
yeah. And so it's about, for me, intelligence is not only being able to learn and to spiel forth really interesting and powerful things and what you've heard, but to be able to look at things in a completely new way.
Yes, exactly.
And to be able to do that in a kind and compassionate way.
And be open.
And be open to new things and
absolutely.
Learning new things and that things come in unique ways.
Mm-hmm.
See, when people don't think out of the box, I think that intelligence is extremely limited. That's why so many, most of the great inventors think out of the box.
Well, I've been totally blessed to have another sister who's 14 months younger than me, and she has an extraordinary intelligence. Both my sisters really had an extraordinary intelligence. But the sister that comes right after me, Joey, she is like a lateral thinker.
Mm.
You know, she doesn't think along the straight lines. She thinks in an entirely different way.
Mm.
And since we were tiny little children, it has blown me away. So from her, having the gift of having her as my sister, she opens my mind all the time with something. So I'm blessed that way, and I love to learn new things. And if I have a difficulty, it's with somebody who's closed-minded.
Well, I also think that there are different, like I've mentioned this before, but Miguel, who used to work for us in our garden, he couldn't learn English because he said it was just too hard. He'd never been to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he couldn't really add things up or work out numbers or anything like that. But what he was brilliant and had really high intelligence was the garden. He had an incredible garden intelligence. And that's the same with some people who may have a brilliant intelligence within any area, but it's not through all the areas.
Yeah.
So some people have an incredible spiritual intelligence.
Well, exactly. And my sister, who I think is a great intellect and a great intelligence, so well read, and she reads things that I never even know existed and she'll turn me on to them, but she will be impressed at the way I can work my way through something or see something. She and I went to Tom Stoppard play, I can't remember, and she said well, I didn't understand that at all. And I said, oh, you didn't? And that might be because she's a lateral thinker and she doesn't think along certain lines, but I got it straight away. But we would compare things.
That's the gift of different intelligence.
Yes, totally different. And then, of course, there's the street smarts, and then there's somebody who has no street smarts. So we all have a degree, a gift. And I remember having a young lad in my class when I was teaching at Crossroads, and his brain had been stunted by some disease when he was little. And so they wanted him to go through the school, so he had tutors and everything. But I found him to be one of the most remarkable students I ever had, because he had a different kind of intelligence, and it was an intelligence born of the heart. He could see things others couldn't. He could express things the way, it was so poetic.
That is so cool.
And I'll never forget him as a student. I was blessed by that, and I think every student that was in the class he was in should be aware that they were blessed by.
So getting back to Byron Katie and being a victim, when did you stop being a victim? Because you must have gone through some of your life feeling like a victim.
Yeah.
What brought you out? What pulled you out of being a victim?
I think probably, golly, wow, that's hard to say.
Well, for me, it was the, you know, being a victim of that school situation. It was, first of all, it just became like a rote thing which pushed me into deep, deep depression. And then, slowly, as I went into meditation and more of the spiritual world, especially Barry Long, I started to become more and more conscious of what was happening. And in some way, and then Byron Katie, of course, questioning everything, that it was able to just open it up, almost like, as I said, these pus balls are like this, and they're held, and we can't open them up until we start questioning, until we start bringing light and consciousness into them.
Okay. I think I've identified it a little bit. It took me longer than you. But let me think. Because I've had several careers, so I never got through it the whole time I was an actress. So it didn't matter about how successful I was or not. It still didn't bring me through that. And it, funny enough... not long ago, I was talking to we were at drama school together with Sir Anthony Hopkins, Tony Hopkins, and we were talking. He said, "You were a really good actress." I said, "No, I wasn't." I mean, immediately I looked at him and I said, "No, I wasn't," and I didn't say that from false modesty. I thought, "No, actually, I don't think I was." You know, that's. And I never wanted to pretend that I was. But through acting, that didn't do it for me. But I think what happened was when I was hired by the Foundation for International Conciliation to do the peace work for the sister organization to the International Committee of the Red Cross. So I was sent into war zones to... get an understanding of true understanding from an independent position of what the conflict was, and then to try to see if I could design a process through which all the people who were at war could work through to resolve it. And it was through that form of my intelligence and success doing that kind of work that I knew the ground I was standing on. I felt I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was doing.
Cool.
With acting, I didn't necessarily know what I was doing, even though I was hardly trained. Mm-hmm. But I tapped into something that was natural to me. So it resulted in me teaching on two courses at Harvard Law School, designing something at Harvard University. I've never been to college, and yet there I was at Oxford.
Well, you went to RADA.
I went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art.
Yeah, that's a college.
Yeah.
But so if you were giving somebody who's still feeling like a victim, and not to blame ourselves, because we just get trapped in that being a victim, and it's not our fault. So what would you suggest that people do if they're locked into being a victim?
First of all, nobody wants to be a victim. Now, everything is qualified here, because I have to say that when you're a child or when you're elderly and you're taken advantage of, you are a victim and it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a qualification there. For those who are oh, like my niece's daughter who has Rett syndrome, she, you know, mm-hmm. she can't do anything for herself. So there are times when there are people that can be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But I think for everyone else, it's your choice, you know. Well, there, as Bear Watcher, an amazing Apache elder says, aside from the exceptions I've just said, he would say there are no victims, there are only volunteers. So in hearing him say that, it's, if you feel like you've been hard done by or taken advantage of, or you are, like I was, felt, okay, I really am not smart, so I better keep my mouth closed. I better look pretty because...
that's, you know, what you got. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what I got. I think the thing is, you've got to decide who you are. And you can't let other people decide who you are. Now, it's hard when you have parents and you're a child who tell you what you are. And what makes us warriors, spiritual warriors, is when we can recognize that somebody told us through whatever pain they were in that made them do something like that to you. What makes you a spiritual warrior is to come through that. Out the other end.
Yeah, and there are lots of, we've got so many shows on
how to do that.
How to do that. If you go look back through our shows. Yeah, so being a victim, if you're feeling like a victim, that means if you're blaming anyone else, mm-hmm. then the Byron Katie process is extremely powerful. All you have to do is just question it.
Yeah.
Question the thought. But I do suggest that you go on YouTube. She has hundreds, maybe thousands of videos on there showing you how she does it. And to sit with her in one of her often free programs is very strong to be able to just see how to do it. You know, the mind wants to think negatively. We've said this 100 times because it's programmed for fight and flight. So if we just start to, even if you don't have to answer it, if you just say it to yourself, is this true, this thought? And you could say, yeah, but at least you've broken the cycle of the thought.
Exactly. That's the first way to get through the victimhood, mm-hmm. to come through as your spiritual warrior. The other aspect is to find something that you love. If you find something, and some very often, like for me to find the political mediation out of, you know, that was the universe sending me that opportunity because it wasn't something I looked for. But be open all the time, and you'll find something that you'll say, oh, yeah, let me explore that. Keep open, because the universe will give you something which you will excel at. There'll be no question about you being a victim to anything.
And if you get stuck in being a victim, mm-hmm. it's likelihood you won't find it.
Yeah.
So if you can move beyond that by questioning it and potentially using some of Byron Katie's or any other people's suggested things to go beyond being a victim. Yeah.
She has a workbook.
Yes.
That you can find on Amazon. And I think it's free online. You can download it.
Yeah, yes, free. And that's really helpful because mm-hmm. all you have to do is download the sheets. Mm-hmm. And you can, at one stage I had a whole folder with the sheets mm-hmm. in of all the different things like my childhood, my birth, school. And I would do every day some of the sheets just to go through mm-hmm. that so that I could work it over. It burnt, of course, when the house burnt, but it doesn't matter. It's all back to the universe.
But yes, but it's also still there, out there, free, yes, for you to get.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I like and I use every day with her work, question everything. Is it true? That's the first thing. Is it true? So if I get a thought in my mind, the first thing that will come in is this true?
And it breaks everything apart. Because otherwise the thought goes to the next thought and the next thought and the next thought.
Will reaffirm something that isn't true. Yes. Most likely is not true.
Yes, absolutely.
So
we've been looking today at Byron Katie. And as long as we think that something is...
It is.
And so if we want to move beyond being a victim without blaming ourselves, because almost everybody in their childhood, somewhere along, as being a victim to something. And so we can just say to ourselves, I don't need to be a victim anymore. And I'm going to use this to...
I'll give up that job.
Yeah, I'll go. Someone else can take it. No. This is Earth Tribe Radio. We're talking about Byron Katie and her suggestion that we question our thoughts. This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on planet Earth.